The Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 23rd, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Now that the Inflation Reduction Act is law, many states are looking to begin work on bringing their climate goals to fruition. In the last decade, Michigan has seen rapid increases in flooding and other drastic weather events as well.
According to the National Centers for Environmental Information, Michigan's declining ice cover could result in greater shoreline erosion, making the state vulnerable to greater flooding. Gary Schlack, an Allen Park City Council member, feels a climate emergency needs to be declared, on top of the money from the new law. But he recognizes political fights over climate change are detracting from accomplishing certain climate-oriented goals.
We only have so much time, and as stewards of our planet, we have to react now and not continue letting the other side drive our land. And if we continue to do so, we'll just move a step back, and fossil fuels will take advantage of that. When you have the momentum, use it.
Although Allen Park is early in working on climate efforts, Schlack is hoping to bring other green initiatives to life. As the liaison for Allen Park's Downtown Development Authority, he has suggested using energy-efficient light bulbs within downtown lighting and adding car charging stations across the city. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Now from CNN, two people have died following multiple shootings in Midtown Atlanta, and a female suspect was detained at the airport. In a tweet Monday, police said the female suspect was located at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport and taken into custody. Another victim who is wounded is hospitalized. The shootings do not appear to be random acts. Mayor Andre Dinkins said, "The suspect was apprehended before going through airport security. I want to say clearly, the security of the airport was never compromised." Every election, thousands of people are disenfranchised from voting because they are incarcerated. But Houston's Harris County Jail has shown the two are not mutually exclusive.
In 2021, a polling place was available at the jail for the first time. Major Philip Vasquez with the Harris County Sheriff's Department says many of those incarcerated are pretrial detainees and not serving a sentence for a felony conviction, making them eligible to vote. He assumed implementation would be daunting, but says he was proved wrong.
Logistically, in a system this size, the third largest in the country, it wasn't as hard as we thought. We got it accomplished, and we've had four elections, and we're set up for the big election coming in November.
Researchers with the Sentencing Project have found the vast majority of those incarcerated are eligible to vote, but face significant barriers. I'm Roz Brown.
In Chicago, L.A., Washington, D.C., they've also introduced polling places for those incarcerated on Election Day. This is PNS. That new Federal Inflation Reduction Act is expected to spur more clean energy projects around the country. It coincides with some encouraging numbers for Iowa this past quarter.
In its latest market report, the American Clean Power Association says Iowa led the nation for land-based wind installations for the second quarter. That's despite slower development at the national level due to trade issues and other factors facing the industry. Jeff Danielson of the Clean Grid Alliance says when you look past any broader hiccups, Iowa should be able to maintain its success.
Given the federal bills that have been passed in the last year that provide both tax credits and investments for clean energy overall, there's no reason Iowa can't continue to lead the country.
Iowa has consistently ranked high in wind energy and is now third in the nation for its operating wind, solar, and storage capacity. I'm Mike Moen.
While bipartisanship helped Iowa's growth, all Republican members of the state congressional delegation voted against the IRA. August is National Make-A-Will Month. Experts say it's a good time for Arizona families to have a conversation about end-of-life plans.
According to research, almost 7 out of 10 people don't currently have a will or an estate plan. Experts warn that without a will, you lose control of your estate, which could be tied up in the courts for weeks or even months. Sam Young with the nonprofit Compassion and Choices says that it's never too early to begin charting an end-of-life journey.
It's really hard to have a conversation with someone about their mortality or their death. COVID has really made us more aware of this. It's not just being terminally ill or old. Unfortunately, any of us can have a situation where we have to face that mortality.
Young says even though it may be difficult, it's important to have a family conversation about mortality sooner rather than later. Mark Richardson reporting.
With more than $1 billion in opioid settlement dollars coming to Ohio, advocates say it must be directed to evidence-based strategies.
Ohio ranked fourth among states in 2020 for drug overdose mortality, with a majority of deaths caused by opioids. Beth Macy, author of the best-selling book Dopesick, which examines the origins of the opioid epidemic. She says real change can happen at the community level with a shift in mindset, and that addiction should be viewed as a treatable medical illness rather than a moral failure in crime.
In the middle of the worst drug epidemic in the nation's history, we need to start figuring out where all these bureaucratic, unnecessary hurdles are. Only 12% of folks with OUD even managed to get treatment in the last year. Of the wealthiest nation in the world, that's horrendous.
Mary Sherman reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener support. You can hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.